This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Hear a great moment on The Fan that you want to hear again and again and again and again. Pause, go back, and then skip ahead with Rewind on the Odyssey app.
I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yes, she needs it.
Just download and search WFAN.
Good morning, campers.
Alan, Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Here we go, it's Friday, soon to be a summer Friday, a couple of minutes after 5 o'clock. What is up? The Lion himself, the Eddie Scazzeri, good to see you, and Al Ryan Dukes. It's Friday, you're happy, you're smiling. Good morning, sir, how are you?
Good morning, Jerry. What a night of sports. Can you feel the sports, Jerry, just pumping through your veins? I mean, unfortunately, the Yankees weren't part of a big sports night.
There was a lot of vein pumping last night.
There was a lot of vein pumping in New York sports. The heck with all these other cities, Jerry. They all suck. New York sports is where it was at last night.
Last night. We haven't won many championships of late, but last night was pretty good.
What have you done for me lately?
Last night
was good.
Would have been good if either of us was up to see them.
Yeah, that would have been good, sure. Let me ask you this, Jerry. You're a guy who made a career out of doing sports updates. You do a different sort of thing now with Boomer and Geo and what you did with Boomer and Carton, but when you were a sports update guy, you would come in and you would have your 2 minutes or 1 minute, or it's down to, I think, 24 seconds now. What would you lead with as a sports guy here in New York City this morning if you were doing an update? Would you do the Rangers winning game two? Would you do the Mets comeback?
Yes and yes.
Well, which one has
alternate
to be first?
So if you go back when we used to do 3 an hour,
yeah,
and the top of the hour one was 5 minutes, by the way.
5 minutes?
Full top of the hour. You'd play like 5-6 pieces of sound. You would give scoreboards. It was because there weren't, you know, you didn't have all the apps on your phone. It was different.
Right.
So to me, easy. Midnight or whatever time, your first update would have been the Mets, the second one Rangers, or vice versa, and I would alternate all night long.
That's interesting, Jerry. I like that.
You can make the case both teams could be on the back pages of the papers today.
Correct.
So there you go. Now, the Ranger game wasn't very dramatic, but they won a game they had to win. It's the playoffs. The Garden was. I had a couple of friends of mine were there sending me the text messages about the place was just in the beginning, ready to explode like it was the other night. And that Met comeback was pretty. The only thing that would have been cooler is if it was at Citi Field in the bottom of the ninth. But you know what? You put it in the Phillies' faces.
Right in your faces. Jerry, would you say last night in New York sports was good or pretty good?
No, pretty good.
Pretty good,
Jerry. That was better than good, actually.
It's pretty good. Yeah. By the way, shout out to Greg Giannotti, who predicted a 5-1 Ranger win.
Yeah, he didn't get it, though.
That's pretty damn close hockey.
He also predicted a Met loss.
Oh, so he
had,
for one.
But you know what, though? He had that nailed for 8 innings.
Yes.
They were getting smoked 7-1. Yeah. So the one thing I did see, my son had a game last night, and at one point I saw from one of the Met reporters on Twitter, because I wanted to check the scores, was, I guess it's a Cinco de Mayo. I'm like, oh, well, the Mets aren't doing well then. And I got home, and they weren't. It was 7-1. Went to bed. I woke up. I was like, what? So I just watched. I watched specifically the ninth inning.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's been talked about or not, but the most underrated play in that ninth inning was Starling Marte's leadoff infield single that he beats. That wasn't like, it wasn't hit off the pitcher. It wasn't a little dribbler. It was an infield single that you're down 7-1. You very easily could have loafed it to first base. That dude busted it out of the box, and he started the rally.
Right, because then he gets on there like, no big deal. 7-1.
Right.
We gave up an infield hit. Then even Francisco Lindor, home run, 7-3.
Although I give Gary credit because
what
about 30 seconds after the home run, he goes, you never know, maybe this is the start of something in Philadelphia.
What?
And it was. It's exactly what he said.
So even at, now it's 7-3, and the bases are cleared. You get
correct.
a fresh start if you're the Phillies pitcher.
James Norwood. Not Scott Norwood. That was the Bills
James
kicker.
James Norwood? Why,
this was
right?
James Norwood.
Was this their closer, or there was another that they brought in later?
Knable's the closer. They
Knable,
brought him in.
Knipknop. Knable.
They brought him in at 7-3, and I think the next guy got on.
Yeah. That was now listen, it's a regular season game, but that felt like 86 Mets, Jerry.
I'm not going to argue with you. This was like the Cardinal game from a couple of weeks ago, but it was a little bit more because they didn't score five runs. They scored six, and it was in Philly.
Pretty good. 7 runs in the ninth.
Yeah.
They beat the Phillies in Philadelphia 8-7. Starling Marte got the rally started, as you said, Jerry, beating out that infield single.
Yes.
Later had an RBI double in the same inning, same ninth.
So I want to do something for you.
All right.
So if I play for you, I'm just going to give you the end of it. This is WIP.
Awesome.
Show you how stunned they were.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to give you the end. I'm not exactly sure where I picked it up, but just so you see where I pick it up for the second clip.
Is this the end of the game or the end?
No, this is the end of Marte's RBI double. The end of that call. All right. So here, I'll give you 10 seconds.
To the base of the left center field wall. They've scored 7 times in the ninth inning. And New York has an 8-7 lead.
Okay. You got that, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to give you what happened after in New York, the 8-7 lead. Remember, this is radio, not TV. These guys in the booth were stunned beyond stunned. They had nothing to say.
And New York has an 8-7 lead.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
This thing on? Hello? Uh-huh.
What do you suppose they're doing?
I don't know.
Marte.
That was 19 seconds of just stunned silence.
Stunned to disbelief, Jerry.
That is really funny. Now,
that is awesome.
Here is where words can matter, all right? Because you can certainly make the case that he's not a fan of Knebel.
Caleb Cotham going out to talk to Corey Knebel, who blows.
Good point. He does blow.
But, of course, that's not what he was saying. Oh.
Corey Knebel, who blows the save.
Poor that's Corey funny. Knebel. Yeah. Take that, Corey Knebel.
I know. That's always a tough situation, too, because while you had a lead, all he had to do was get a couple of outs, you still came in the middle of a mess, and the Mets had that feeling. But, yeah, that was a tough one for Philadelphia.
Yes, very tough one for Philly. Too bad. They were wearing their cool unis as well, Jerry, those cool blue. I didn't realize how many teams had this sort of powdered blue uniform in their repertoire over the years. Phillies, Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Royals. Tampa Rays,
yeah,
I think, that, had that, it that, also,
and the
Jerry.
Yellow, yep, that's exactly
did
right.
Did I mention the Blue Jays?
You did,
yeah,
yes, you
okay,
did.
The Royals, yeah.
Mostly it's four.
Yeah, so it's
what about the Brewers? They ever wear those
Brewers,
goes?
Jerry, good yeah. point. Thank you for bringing that up, Brewers.
Right on.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
No, that was fun last night.
So I saw Elias, the Elias people were...
You have the 858 number, too?
Yeah, the Elias people, Jerry, they were very busy. Now, do you think they get woken up when something crazy is going
no,
on?
No, I think
someone
the Bureau is awake.
You think the Bureau is going 24-7?
Yes, I do.
Elias.
I do.
And you think they have TVs everywhere?
Yeah.
I would love to. Why doesn't anyone do a documentary on Elias Sports Bureau?
They should, because it's probably a fascinating company.
Right.
They have to keep tabs on everything.
Yes. Everything. Like, they've got to be watching games and be like, probably should write that down. Write what down?
Right.
The guy just had an untied shoe, and if they score, that's be the 7th time in the history of baseball where someone scored after tying their shoe, according to Elias Sports.
It's true.
Like, they have to write down everything to know that 857 straight losses by MLB teams when they were trailing by 6 runs or more in the ninth. That seems incredible.
I saw SportsCenter put up on the graphic when the inning started for the
okay.
Mets. They had a 0.1% chance of coming back and winning that game. Could you imagine what the odds were if you bet that live?
It was 60-1.
That's it?
Yeah. In the ninth.
60-1?
Yeah.
That's it.
That was it. I saw that in an article.
You have a 0.1% chance to win, and all my odds were 60-1?
It was a 60-1 chance at
great.
The start of the inning.
I would have thought it was 1,000-1.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right. That wasn't so super.
No. 60-1.
Elias on that.
That sounds like a week four jet line.
Yeah. Also, Elias, Jerry, came up with the third time in Mets history. They've come back from at least six runs down in the ninth to win.
Last time was 97?
97. How old are you, Jerry?
In 97?
Yep.
23.
1997 was quite a few years ago, Jerry.
That's when you found yourself?
97 to 2007 is 10 years. 97 yep. to 2017 is 20 years.
Right.
25 years ago.
How about that?
I was 26 years old. Or 27. I was 27 years old, Jerry.
Yeah.
A young man just really
were you in Tampa
himself.
At that point?
I was.
Yeah. So there's no chance you saw that game?
No.
Yeah.
I was 27 years old, and I can tell you this. There's one thing I recall vividly about being 27 years old. I was dating a girl who was also 27 years old. One of the rare times I dated someone my age, Jerry. And I remember we were walking by the water in Tampa, and we had been together a couple months, and she referenced something about, asked how much money I made. And I told her $19,000 a year. And she found like the Phillies broadcaster, stunned at disbelief.
Haven't never spoke to her since, huh?
I think she was cocky. She was making $35,000.
Yeah, so well, I would like, be too if I loser. Found that I had doubled yours.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I actually, that is a single thing I recall from 1997. Now, had I watched this Met game back then,
I believe Carl Everett homered in that Met game.
Is that right?
If I read that right, yes.
Oh, you did? Oh, really? Did you call Elias Sports
I did
Bureau?
Not. I read the same article you did. I just read a little bit further than you did.
I got to that one. I was like, that's good enough. On to the next.
Couple of good notes. We move on.
Yeah, got it right. I got a couple of nuggets. I'll shout out Elias Sports Bureau. Do you think we could do a digital exclusive where we go, you and I go to Elias Sports Bureau and follow them around?
If they would allow us
digital.
In.
Digital. They're probably right. They're probably so secretive over there.
Yeah, I don't know if they would let us
in. I want to know how many people are in the newsroom, how many TVs they got going. Are the phones buzzing like during this Met game? Like, holy smokes, something's going on.
He said,
here.
Holy shnikes.
Holy shnikes.
Yes.
Who said that? Howie Rose?
Hold on right here.
Holy shnikes!
Because the one time he cursed, and Eddie
had to bleep,
bleep it out.
We could have bleeped this out, too, but he said shnikes.
Oh, shnikes. Yeah. I don't know what that means. I've not heard holy shnikes.
No, it's an alternate to holy bleep.
Now, did he give you the holy shnikes? Do you remember at what point that was? Was it?
That was the Marte. That's when they took the lead.
Oh, when they took the lead. Okay.
Yeah. Right here.
Nemo around third, coming home. He scores standing. Double for Marte. 8-7 New York. Holy shnikes.
And who scored there? Was that Jankowski,
who pinch ran after the J.D. Davis double.
I'm loving this guy pinch running.
Yeah, no, this guy's tremendous. He really is. We got to get his jersey.
He's tall and lanky. He's got somebody sent me a video, you know, he referenced the other day. You played the clips of him saying that, you know, he knows his role on the team. He's pinch runner dude. He's outfield dude. He's not expecting people to wear his jersey. Somebody sent me a video when he was on the Padres. He did one of those undercover things where he tried to talk people into getting his jersey when he was at
and
some
no
sort
one knew
of
who he was.
Local sports store. Yeah, no one knew who he was.
That's amazing. Well, you know why? Because he does have a distinctive look.
He does.
It's not like he's a genetic. He's got the longer hair. He's tall. You would think if you were a fan of that team. Like, I would actually think if a diehard Met fan was in the Met shop at Citi Field or around Citi Field, you would know it was him. I really do.
Right.
San Diego.
He's a hero now, though, here, Jerry, because he said such a thing, because he's in the mix for all these
and
teams.
And he's been a really good fit.
Yeah.
He's, you know, it's worked. And he doesn't complain. He likes his role. The one thing that was funny, it was a Gary, or I forget which one, because I had Gary, I listened to Gary, Howie, and WIP. One of them said that Alonzo and Lindor were bumping chests like they just won the pennant.
That was probably some rude Philadelphia.
No, I think it was Howie, actually.
Yes. Was that right?
It was Howie?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
He was saying that in a happy way, or like, look at these guys.
No, just kind of, you know how the silence, how Philly was stunned? It was just, he was just filling the moment and telling you what was going on.
Yeah.
There's the one cool one, and I forget who it was. I don't remember the at-bat, but there's a woman sitting behind home plate when the Mets, did you see this?
Well, I thought her eyes were like, oh, here we go. I thought that was really great, and I thought the TV did a great job of capturing the fans.
Yes, they did.
While that whole inning was going
on. The Met fans, and there were a lot of them there, they were fired up, and the Philly fans were quiet.
Yes, you got a lot of fired up Mets fans. You got that girl whose eyes got big, like, what do we got? And that, she did that early on.
Oh, is that true?
I think she did that.
In the inning.
Yeah.
It was after the Lindor home run.
Correct. Right, which was still, they're still down four runs.
I think it was after the Lindor home run, and then the next hit, I don't remember what the hit was. It might have been Alonso's, like, line drive down the left field line. I forget. But, yeah, that was kind of cool. That's like, you could do something with that.
There were a lot of Mets fans at that game who looked like Sal Licata.
Bald?
Bald. Into it.
That's Sal. Sal had a good night. Too.
So yeah, Sal did have a good night.
His Rangers won.
Yep.
The Mets looked dead and came back to win in Philly. That's a show. And you know that's an easy show.
I guess so, yeah, when you generally have not a ton of sports
piece
talk.
Piece of cake.
And then not only did you get the jubilant Met fans, but you're right, you got the, in particular, one like sad Phillies teenager.
How about the opportunity we have here?
Which is what?
If the Mets could win again tonight and the Sixers go down 0-3, that all happens within walking distance.
Yes.
New York. You look very excited about
that. I was
going to
say New York dominating Philly, but no, I forgot our teams are out in basketball.
Miami would be
all right,
the
we'll
team
take
to
Miami. We'll root Miami.
But you have a situation tonight where you could have a lot of very upset Philly fans leaving that complex right around the same time.
And Embiid is out.
Right.
Is this a letdown spot for the Mets, Jerry?
No, I don't think the Mets have. I don't think the Mets have had one yet this year.
That's right.
Can you think of one time where they've gone out, just went through the motions, and just looked like they kind of threw the towel? I don't know.
The last game of the Braves series?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
That's the only one I can think that's close.
Because that was a close game until the seventh inning. Truth. The pitching was good. No, I feel like they've actually, for the most part, this year, you got something over there?
No, I'm trying to look up who's pitching tonight for the Mets.
Scherzer.
Max Scherzer.
Oh, forget it.
Or Max Mercer.
Forget it, Phillies.
Now, he wasn't great in Philly his first time around.
Oh, he'll be great, Jerry.
Well, he might be. I'm just telling you.
Let me see who's pitching against. Somebody named Gibson. Never heard of you.
Kyle Gibson,
yeah,
I believe.
Oh, I thought his ERA was 9
you know the
something.
Yankees
it's
are,
actually 2.9.
Yeah, no. The Yankees are facing a kid today, this Glenn Otto, I think
Glenn
is his
Otto,
name.
Yeah.
They drafted him in 2017. My first time, who the hell is this guy?
Who's this punk?
And then you go on, because I wanted to see where he was from, and the first thing I saw, he's from Texas. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, God, the Yankees drafted him in like the second round in 2007, or whatever round it was, in 2017.
This is a cool night. It's Friday night. This is a cool night to go out to dinner somewhere where they have TVs, so not a fancy
it's
restaurant.
Always a great time to go out to dinner where there are TVs.
Right, but you've got Max Scherzer pitching
yes.
and Gerrit Cole pitching.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is
They've
cool.
pitched on the same night a number of times already this year in this very young season, Jerry.
They're aces.
Yeah.
That's how it usually lines up.
No. It does, because sometimes there's a 4-game series, sometimes there's a 3-game series, sometimes there's a rainout, sometimes there's a
yeah,
day
no,
off.
No, it can be altered, but more times than not, the ones are going to pitch when the ones pitch. And the twos, it can be altered for sure, but a
are
lot of times
sure?
that will even itself out. Yeah. That's
are you sure, Jerry?
Usually the way it works.
When at some point in the season, that's got to get all whacked out.
I said it can, but it's not a surprise that both aces are pitching on the same day. That's actually
so you're
normal.
Saying that there's probably aces on the other teams also yes. pitching. Well, this is the night for baseball then.
It could be. We got to take a break.
I'm going to go out tonight, Jerry. I'm going to get
gonna live
a
it up.
Miller Lite.
Be drunk by the second one.
I'm going to watch the Mets over here, the Philly, the Yankees over here. Hockey's not on tonight, is it, Jerry?
The Rangers play tomorrow night.
And tomorrow night I'm going out to the bars again, Jerry. I'm going to have the Rangers over here.
All right, it's almost 20 after 5. Al is going to plan his weekend during the break. When we come back, more on that and a whole bunch more. And then Boomer and Gio at 6 on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
25 after 5, a very quick start to this Friday morning. And why the hell not? The Rangers won. The Mets had that wild comeback in Philly last night. So all's good in our world.
Jerry, what's the rule now that weed is legal in New Jersey and in many places? What's the rule, like, is weed treated like alcohol? Here's why I ask. In the beach towns, and maybe every town now,
yeah,
every car
smells like weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like most of the cars that drive by me.
I don't think you can drive and smoke. I think it's still under the influence.
But how do they, like, you can do a test for alcohol, like, is, so you're saying it's DUI, driving under the influence?
I believe so, yeah.
But can they, if I was sitting in my car, because I saw this yesterday, if I'm sitting in my car at the beach, but I'm in the driver's seat and I'm parked.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking a beer, that's
no against, good.
But yet people are just sitting there smoking weed.
I don't know.
And it's at least, like, if I had a beer, I could even hide that. You can't. I'm 30 feet away from you and I smell your weed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are.
I don't know.
But it seems like the majority of people are driving smoking weed.
There are cars that will pass you, specifically in New York City, because the cars aren't going that fast. And it's like a trail of weed smoke.
Down the shore, too.
I know. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, when I'm walking my dog, cars are going by. And
Why don't you ask a cop? I got a cop friend. I could find out for
you. I'm asking the cops now. Tweeter.
Steve, are you up? It's 5:30.
Let's see. I'm just curious.
I'll text them.
And can I start making citizens arrests?
I don't know that you can. You might get a punch in the face.
You know, like, here's the other thing. Like, if a cop pulls over somebody drinking, they do the breathalyzer test. How do I get these weed people?
I don't know. They would need some sort of test for that too. I mean, obviously it's in your blood, but I don't know that that works for most people.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't mind you're doing weed.
Your eyes, though.
Don't be driving and doing weed.
I have a few friends that are cops. They all say the same thing. They can tell a lot by your eyes.
Yeah, but is it enough to, you know, nowadays you got to have a videotape of a guy committing a murder in order to get a guy for murder. So my guess is you guy could just be like, I have allergies. And the cops won't be allowed to do anything.
I don't know.
We don't let the cops do anything.
Let's get a cop on the show. Let's find out. We don't take calls, but let's talk to a cop.
The cops are probably told, you're not allowed to bother the weed people because it could start a social uprising.
I'm not sure.
Stupid, Jerry. Jerry.
877-337-6666. If you're a cop, we want to talk to you about weed.
Jerry, did you see a couple of high-profile New York Yankees were at the Ranger game?
I did.
And they were wearing Rangers jerseys.
I saw.
It was Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rizzo. DJ LeMahieu.
And what were they doing?
Chugging beers.
I think that's awesome.
I love when local teams support the local teams. Like, even though they may not know what's going on with hockey, the fact that they went wearing the jerseys.
Remember Nick Mangold would be nuts at the Ranger games?
But I think, like him, I think Justin Tuck, I think they love the Rangers. Like, I don't know if these guys like the Rangers.
Well, you don't know that they don't. Aaron Judge was at the Nets playoff game.
Right. He might just be a front runner, local front runner supporting the local team.
Possible.
Whereas, like, Justin Tuck and Nick Mangold, they were going to regular season
games.
They
were fans.
They were hardcore into it.
100%. Nick Mangold used to smash the glass behind the bench for the opposing teams.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool.
Pounding the thing, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're right. He was into it. But I do like when LeBron would go to the Cleveland Indians games, even though we knew he was a Yankee fan. You got a sports team.
And he would be in the suite.
Yeah, that's
true. As opposed to in the crowd.
Right.
But I think it's great.
Yeah, I like it. Although I was thinking, like, during baseball season, you do not get a lot of nights off.
Right.
And all these guys have girlfriends or boyfriends, Jerry. It's 2022.
Didn't Judge just get married?
Yeah. Now here he is out.
Out with the guys.
Right. If I was the wife or girlfriend, I'd be like, hey, Aaron Judge, you get one night off. Spend it with your lover.
I think I'm going to check this. So clearly they're playing tonight. It's Friday night game, as we know.
Yes.
But I think they have day games this weekend.
No.
So 1 o'clock Saturday and then probably 1 o'clock Sunday. So she's got two nights with him. It's enough.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. It is enough.
I mean, you know, that's fine.
That's enough.
And not for nothing. All afternoon. And he's got to go to the ballpark at what, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, good point,
Jerry. They can wake up. They can have brunch.
Yeah.
They're fine. And then he's got to deal with each other tomorrow night and Sunday night.
Plus that whole off season where they're just nothing to do. You know what I mean, Jerry?
Well, it's different. It's not the same as it used to be. There still were, 1:30 on Sunday, and then here would be the trifecta. Yep, they're off Monday.
Oh, so he's like, listen, I'm off Monday.
And they're home. They play the Blue Jays Tuesday at home. So to be quite fair, I think that was no issue at all going out last night, because if you're him and her, they've got Saturday night, they've got Sunday night, and all day Monday to stare at one another until he goes to the ballpark. He might be at the ballpark at 9 a.m. on Tuesday.
But here's what I bet. It was a discussion.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't, because of the weekend ahead. I guarantee you they both have on their Google calendar his schedule.
So you don't think he said, like, you don't think he couched it by going, we'll be spending a lot of time together this coming weekend. Was thinking about going to the Rangers game tonight.
Well, no, time out. That, of course. But I don't think he was like, hey, do you mind? You know, is it okay? I'm sure he was like, hey, we got a good weekend coming up. I'm going to go to the Ranger game Thursday. He goes, and then we'll have Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Or maybe he lays down the law and goes, listen, I am going to this Rangers game.
No, I think he seems too nice.
Yeah, nowadays.
I don't think so.
Back in the 50s, Jerry, he would have just said, listen, toots. <It's> I'm going to this Rangers game.
In the 50s, you're probably right.
No more, Jerry.
You're probably right.
You don't do that anymore.
And because that was a bizarre time, too, comparative to where we are.
The 1950s?
Sure.
Yeah.
Not only was it, I'm going to this game, toots, it was probably also have dinner waiting for me with the foil on top when I get home.
And have a Rob Roy mixed for me.
What a weird time that was, huh?
Yeah.
And have a Rob Roy. Where did you come up with a Rob Roy?
I don't remember where I got Rob Roy. That's some sort of older man drink.
And he probably wanted the newspaper waiting for him in his recliner as well.
And have my slippers ready when I get home.
Jesus, God.
And the kids to sleep.
Could you imagine living in that time?
In the 50s?
Oh, my God. Or the 30s or whatever.
No, the 30s. At least the 50s, it feels like we had cars.
There were cars in the 30s. It wasn't like now, but there were cars in the 30s. Now, the 1830s, there were no cars.
What's weird is even seeing like photographs from the 80s and what the cars looked like.
Sure.
It's so weird.
Yeah, and those were new and modern back at the time. Well, and that means what we're driving now, 30 years from now, will look terrible.
You ever see like a Honda Accord from like 1984?
Sure.
It looks so bizarre.
And now it's like a sports car.
Yeah.
Honda Accord's a good car.
We get all screens in our cars now. I love it.
And yet there are some. Now, they have been modified for sure. But the Corvette has not changed that much. It has, but it's not like a completely different vehicle.
Right.
You know, there are, like the Mustang is a completely different vehicle from the Mustang in the mid-60s to where we are now. Completely different look. The Corvette's still somewhat similar.
It still has that pointy sort of thing.
Whatever happened to the Firebird? The Pontiac Firebird.
Oh, I love the Firebird. Like a Trans Am.
Yes.
We don't have Trans Ams. We don't have Firebirds. We don't have Camaros. Oh, maybe we still have Camaros.
They still have the Camaro. I believe they still have
Camaro. That looks nothing like the Camaros.
No, that's another one where they changed the look of
it. And Eddie was driving in the 80s.
You had a Camaro, too? Oh.
Did you have a Camaro?
I did. Yes, I did.
I did not. I wasn't.
Nice sunroof.
Yeah.
It was a good car.
I didn't think I was cool enough to have a Camaro.
You probably weren't.
No.
With the teal green neon.
I had the Saturn, yeah.
The Saturn, I'm sorry, yes.
The Saturn, Jerry. Good news, Jerry. It looks like things are warming up between Deebo Samuel and the 49ers. He started following them on Instagram again.
Yeah, his agent called him and said, hey, dummy, you're probably going to get fined every day for not showing up.
So if you had any dreams of him coming to the Jets, it's not looking so great.
Yeah, once the draft passed, I kind of felt like that was over.
Everyone's in place now.
I'm not saying something can't happen, but I don't think so.
So they say he started following the 49ers again on Instagram, and he liked the post about John Lynch saying the issues between the team and Deebo Samuel can be worked out. So it looks like all's well in Deebo Samuel 49ers land.
Okay.
So there goes that fantasy of yours, Jerry.
I wasn't up for me. Although they did have him tied to the Cowboys.
Really?
I
did not see that.
There were many rumors that thought he'd be the perfect fit in Dallas. But again, once the draft went by, you kind of forget it and you just assume he's going to be there.
It's like the Baker Mayfield situation.
Well, yeah. Although you're still hearing people say Mayfield to the Giants. I don't know if that would ever be possible.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I don't either. I'm just telling you what I've heard. So, all right, we're going to take a break. It's 5:36. We're running late, but whatever. There's a lot going on. When we come back, we've got more and more and more. And then Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, your official station to talk Rangers, Yankees, Mets, and weed. Dolt, by the way. I like that word. That's an underused word.
Yeah, dolt.
I like that word.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's pretty good.
Pinhead, Brandon. I like.
Yeah, you're good with the dummy.
I love dummy. I stole that from Jim Norton many years ago because it would be so great. Like, you can't. I figured, like, if I yell at a caller and call them a dummy
or someone on Twitter,
and then they went to, like, my boss. The boss
it sounds
like,
silly.
It sounds like childish that I called you a dummy. If I called you a jerk, that's a little meaner.
We're an A-bleep.
An A-bleep.
Right.
Meaner.
But correct.
Listen, dummy. That's so...
It's childish.
Yeah, it's childish.
You can't get in trouble for that.
Exactly, Jerry.
John and Ramsey. This is kind of cool. We're taking a call on the warm-up show. Wow. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for putting me on. You do a great job bridging from Boomer and Geo. Hey, I got to give you a weed story, and I'll be pissy. So I drive my daughter every morning at around 7:15 on Route 17 and Route 4. And, you know, I get smoking weed at night, and I can understand the weed people doing that. But at 7 in the morning, it's filling my car, and I have to put my car on research. It's so funny to say the trail of smoke. It just fills the car. My poor daughter's next to me. And it's crazy. These people are puffing away at 7 a.m. It boggles my mind. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, if you smoke cigarettes, a lot of people will tell you the first thing you do is you grab your coffee and a cigarette when you wake up.
Yeah, the wake and bake, they call that, Jerry, these weed people.
That doesn't surprise me, sadly.
So I did hear from a cop in New Jersey who direct messaged me. So I don't know if his name is Dave, but there's many Daves. Could be any cop
in New
Jersey. Yeah. He says New Jersey screwed legal weed up, so eager to legalize and no thought about the fallout. With alcohol, we test breath, blood, urine. Weed in the system is hard to measure. It's being challenged in New Jersey Supreme Court also right now.
So then can you have a sobriety test like they do with alcohol?
Another caller called me and said that there is a company that is working on sort of a weed breathalyzer.
Like working on it right now, but people are right now driving around weeding
that
up.
That should have been in place before you made it legal. Like you could have said, listen, it's going to be legal as soon as.
Because here's the other thing, too. When you're smoking weed, we can smell it. If you're just getting up, having a gummy, and driving to work.
No clue.
Exactly.
No clue.
Or the vapes. I don't think all of those have
Well, but you can make that case about any drug use, though, too.
Right, but when you what happens, like, when you legalize it, I think more people are more relaxed about it. It's, I don't know.
No, you're right.
You know?
You're right. It's very accepted.
But, well, I'm not going to get up and grab a Budweiser and head out to work.
There are some, sadly,
some
that do. Yes.
By the way, also another thing from earlier, Jerry, you had asked me what the Mets odds were when they were down.
Yeah, you said 60-1. I said it's terrible.
Yeah, I did read that in an article.
Yeah.
But a guy showed me, he bet the Mets down 7-0. They were plus 3,400.
That
makes more sense, right,
that
Jerry?
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How does that work? Mm-hmm. 60-1, 34 plus 5. Yeah, I get confused.
Who knows,
whatever.
Jerry?
Okay.
What else do I have here? Some other fun things. Oh, I see Phil Mickelson, Jerry, had a bit of
this is not fun.
He had a bit of a gambling issue.
Well, we've always known he's been a gambler.
Okay.
That's not a secret.
That we knew.
The numbers that are in this book, and I guess it came from a federal audit, I think.
Yeah.
So it seems like it might be legit. I saw one report that broke down his earnings.
Yeah.
His debts in terms of who he owed and what, that said he might have actually, in that 4 to 5 year period between 2010 and 2014, when they say he lost roughly $40 million, he was making $20 million a year. So you say, all right, well, he still is $40 million clear. But then the article broke down his agent fees, the plane fees, taxes you got to pay, living in California, that actually thinks for that time period, he might have had no money.
In really, that's a 5-year period, right? 10, yeah. 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah.
No cash.
Not much. Now,
did it say what he was betting on?
I don't know.
Like,
but
was
he's
he a
been,
card player? Was he a sports better?
He's been
better?
The type that has been a sports better for a long time. Yeah. And he won. Eddie, do you remember that the big one he hit? Oh, he won a huge bet. He placed the bet in Vegas.
A sports bet?
Yeah. If I search anything Mickelson betting-wise, the story's going to come up rather than... I feel like he had a Super Bowl bet. Was it the Raven? I don't remember.
That sounds familiar, even to someone like me, Jerry.
I'll look at it during the break, but he hit one big once.
Yeah.
But he's been known to be a gambler. He's been known even on the golf course to gamble with the guys he's playing with. So it's not surprising, but that number is
$40 million.
Crazy.
It's a big number.
See what I did there?
I'm seeing what you're doing over there, Eddie.
Now you can see why he's going to jump into this new league.
Right.
Guaranteed money. Yes.
Cash, give me cash.
This Alan Shipnuck.
Who's this?
He's the guy who wrote the book.
Oh.
This unauthorized biography.
Unauthorized?
I think he's got a pretty good name around golf. He must clearly hate Mickelson, huh?
I love an unauthorized biography.
As long as you can substantiate some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. I don't like, though, when the person the book's written about challenges you and then presents facts to show that you're wrong. Because then what is it then?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, when I watch a documentary, when the person's involved, I like that because you're hearing from the actual person.
Sure.
But I also think, well, where some things not put in,
I think it depends on who had the creative control.
Yeah.
I would think. Like, for instance, when HBO did the thing Following Craig, you watched it.
Yes.
It was pretty accurate, would you not say?
I would say that, yes.
And he was involved, but I don't know what kind of control he had over it, as much as they did all the interviewing. I don't know. I think it depends on who's in charge of it. And if, for instance, the person the documentary is about, are they the ones, is it because in this day and age, everybody's got their own media company. Did their media company do it? Because then you know where the directive's coming from. Or was it an outside company that just got cooperation from the subject? I think that matters.
Right.
You know, if you've got a Al's Boring Productions doing a documentary on you.
I do.
Listen, all the great. A lot of it's going to be slanted towards you to make you look good.
Yeah. A lot of it's going to be how terrific my life is.
Now, if HBO Films did something on you, well, then you know what? They might try and tell a real story.
And so what do you do now? Just sit around for 6 hours? That's correct.
Yeah. Imagine a documentary on you, a lot of blank pages.
They'd be like, and now what do you do? I go, no, this is it. This is it.
You just don't want to follow me around for the next 5 hours?
Oh, in a couple minutes, I'm going to start peeling my sweet potatoes. So I don't know if you guys want to stick around for that.
People be running, pulling their hair out of their head from your place. No, he lives like this.
No, this is real. Jerry, Ben Simmons was all smiles, according to TMZ. I saw a video of him. He seemed very happy how his back surgery went.
I didn't see this. I read it. So was he leaving the hospital?
Not sure where he was in the hospital? He was not in the hospital. He was all smiles. He was out in the...
But the surgery was yesterday.
Yeah. Already
was
out,
he
Jerry?
Walking?
Not sure.
I thought you just said you watched the video.
Well, I saw the still picture of the video. He was smiling.
Okay.
And the headline said all smiles.
All right.
And he said that he was very happy with how it went.
Well, listen, until you know it didn't work, you're going to be happy. Because right now you should be having positive thoughts.
Yeah, right now you're going, that was awesome.
Now in 6 months, if he's not feeling well, not so great.
That back surgery was terrific.
You know what? Something you've got to think, for a kid as talented as he is, something's got to break well for him at some point. Maybe this is it.
This could be the new beginning, Jerry.
And then the Nets can give him $50 million.
Right. Maybe he was part of the magical evening.
He signed for a while, but yes.
He might have been part of the magical evening yesterday. The Mets comeback. The Rangers win. The Ben Simmons back surgery.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to make the list today, quite frankly.
Oh, it's going to make the list.
No, but not. It's not a top story. Hey, for him, it is.
It's a side
story.
It's not
for us. It's a side story, yes.
It's an oh, by the way, just like I did. Jerry, oh, by the way, Ben Simmons.
Oh, by the way. All right, quick break, 5:52. We'll get out of here for Boomer and Geo in a couple of minutes, but one story before then. Right now on Odyssey Sports Minute, Amy Lawrence on Tom Brady.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, we got a couple more minutes. We'll get you to Boomer and Geo. Mets wild comeback win. Rangers win, even up the series with the Penguins, Yankees, Rangers tonight.
When Boomer comes in, I'm going to say, Boomer, let's not do Rangers today. That Met game was a big win.
That's good. Can I get the camera rolling? Because I'd like to get you punched on tape if possible.
What do you
think, Met fan, so he'll be into that too.
Right.
But he was at the Ranger game, though. So.
But you're right about the Rangers game. Like, that wasn't even really a close game. It was, and it evens up the series. It's not like they took a series.
No, they took
lead.
Control last night of that game. Absolutely.
Right.
No, you're right.
And Gio, you almost nailed it. 5-1, you said, and it ended up 5-2.
I said at some point, I said 5-1, maybe even 5-2.
Oh.
I did say that, but I did stick with 5-1.
Yeah, he did say the 5-1 or 5-2. Like, Boomer just predicts everything, so
right.
He's always 5-1 right.
5-1 or 5-2, what
good
are you
point,
talking
Eddie.
About? That's very specific.
And you almost had the Phillies and Mets nailed.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about that game, but obviously I got that wrong,
Well, you
too.
Were right, though, through 8 innings.
Yeah, I said I didn't like the matchup.
The game was dead.
Yeah, it was.
And then it wasn't.
And then the magic happened. Jerry, this is how you know it's going to be a magical season for the Mets.
You might be right about that.
That felt like Gary Carter getting a hit.
It feels like, and it's only May, right now, it feels a lot like 2000, where you feel like these two teams are on a collision course.
Jerry, I bailed on baseball then because of the strike. I was gone for a couple years, came back in 2007. So I'm not that familiar with what you're mentioning about the 2000 season, but I'll tell
you. WFAN and WFAN-FM in HD1, New York.
An Odyssey station.